Last week we were together, we looked at the feeding of the 5,000 and how the Lord miraculously provided, how he has compassion on people, that he's not just interested in ministering to people's spiritual needs, but to their physical needs. That is why you find Christianity down through the centuries, all over the world, ministering in so many places and providing hospitals, providing employment, providing food, reaching out in all of these different ways to bless people, because we believe in ministering to the whole person. And that's what we ought to still be doing, is looking out for people and making sure that their needs are met. And as he did this, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples, Mark 6:45, get back into the boat and head across the lake to Bethsaida while he sent the people home. After telling everyone goodbye, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. So as the evening came, Jesus put the disciples in a boat. So all day long there was ministering going on. They were tired. And Jesus said, "Now I want you to go across the lake. I'm staying here." And you might wonder, well, why would he do that? Especially when we look at the circumstances that are coming. But God knows the future. Get that in your head. He knows the future. We don't. We don't know what's coming. We don't know what tomorrow brings. But God does. And he always has a contingency plan for whatever comes. And sometimes we can get to the point where we're ready to pull our hair out because we just don't know what's happening and we don't know what's next in life. But that night, as the disciples were sent out in the evening, the disciples were in their boat in the middle of the sea, and Jesus was alone on the land. And he saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and the waves. So about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water, and he intended to go past them. Matter of fact, we discover that by that time, the boat was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And it actually tells us in another one of the Gospels, in John chapter 6, they rowed about 3 or 4 miles. So it took them till 3 o'clock in the morning, from the evening till 3 in the morning, to row 3 or 4 miles. And the wind was contrary to them. And it was a big storm. It was a storm so much so that it says that they were in serious trouble and rowing hard against the wind. God sent the disciples, Jesus sent them out in a storm. He sent them out in a storm. Who does that? Huh? Would you send in your, would you send your people out in a storm? No. Why would he do that? Everything happens for a reason. Okay. Okay, for them to grow faith in the Lord. That's right. If you never had a problem, you'd never know that God could solve them. Is that right? Yeah. Trials come. Are we exempt from trials? Oh, yeah, but we're Christians now. We don't get any trials, do we? Huh? No. That's when they come. That's right. It's true. We'll get more, even more trials sometimes from other quarters just because you follow Jesus Christ. So we're not exempt from that. You know, the Bible says God causes the rain to fall on the just as well as the unjust. So it's not like, oh, now that I'm a Christian, the rain doesn't fall on me. Right? It falls. And sometimes it can come in torrents, can't it? But if we can understand something, that God, who is in control of the wind and the waves, God who is in control of the timing of all things, God is in control of every little thing that happens on this world, then I can say, yes, God, even if you send me out in a storm, even if you allow me to go through these deep valleys, even if trials come, that God, you're in control and you know what you're doing. You have a plan. It changes everything, friends, when you have that perspective. So many people are so fearful about what's next in life. They are. And there's a reason why. Because if you don't have God, if you don't believe that God is in control, if you haven't trusted your soul to him, then you're out on your own. And what a place to be. I would hate the thought of being out on my own. I couldn't do it. I'm too weak for that. And I'm so glad that I have a strong God that I've embraced and that he's embraced me and that he's holding my hand. And yes, it says in Psalm 23, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So God brings comfort, blessing, and presence even in the midst of the hardest and trials and storms. The disciples were out there. They had gotten their instructions. They were doing what they were told. but they were getting nowhere. They were doing the best that they could. They were rowing against the wind, and they had gotten 4 miles out, but they had a long way to go, and things were not looking good at all. They were in dire circumstances. And sometimes God will allow you to be in dire circumstances. Sometimes he will allow. And listen, many people never turn to God because they don't have any problems. When people get in troubles enough, then they cry out to God. The old saying is true. For the most part, there are no atheists in foxholes. When the bullets are flying and death is imminent, people are praying. They're crying out to God. And often it seems to take those kinds of crises for people to wake up and say, I need God. Often we have to hit some kind of a bottom before we'll actually start to look up and realize, I need God. And praise God that he's there. He's there all the while, in every trial, in every circumstance, in every situation. God is there. And he's real. And he loves us. And he reaches out towards us. In this circumstances, he sent them out into the lake. It tells us that he could see them. He saw them. Now, remember this, unless it was a really good full moon, but when you look out 4 miles on the water and you see a couple of guys rowing in a boat, you ain't going to see very much, are you? You aren't. You're not going to see. So we know that this was not just a physical seeing, but this was divine. This was God, Jesus, in his power, being able to see them struggling and rowing and getting nowhere. So what does he do when he comes to them walking on the water? I don't know if my ears shrunk or what. This is not fitting that well. Excuse me. Try this again. There we go. Crazy hearing aids. I got too much stuff on my ears. Good thing I don't wear earrings too. So here comes Jesus, and he's walking on the water, and he's walking towards them. Now that's a little bit miraculous, wouldn't you say? And you know, that in one of the Gospels, it actually tells us that he was about to walk by. And let's see if I got that here or not. He intended to go past them. Do you see that? He actually goes for a stroll on the water. Now remember, this is a storm, okay? This isn't like flat calm, right? I can walk on water too, as long as it's frozen, but this wasn't frozen, right? This was a storm, and Jesus is walking on those waves. Now, doesn't say he was climbing, which means somehow, supernaturally, he was able to walk on the waves and on the storms. God can do this, friends. He can walk on the storm. He can. And here he did. He was walking on the storm. But he didn't walk right towards the boat. Instead, he walks as if he's going by them. Now, why would he do that? Maybe so. Yep. Any other thoughts? Why would he walk on by? Jesus is passing by. Okay. Yeah. Inspecting them.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, he's God, right? Couldn't he have just, you know, or like, you remember Bewitched?
Yeah.
And appeared on the boat. Couldn't he have done that? Huh? Why didn't he do it that way? There's a thousand ways he could have done this, right? He could have levitated the boat, right? There's a thousand things that God could have done. But everything is in purpose and an intention to it. So Jesus comes along and he walks on those waves, and it's as if he's walking by. Well, one thing that we do know is that they freaked them out. And I suppose it would you too, when they looked over and they saw that it was him coming. It says they were frightened. In one of the passages, it actually says they were terrified. You see what it says here? They cried in terror, Mark 6:49. When they saw him walking on the water, they cried out in terror, thinking he was a ghost. So in one sense, he didn't come and invade their territory too quickly. He gave them a chance. But he also had another plan in all of this. He knew what was coming. God knows what he's doing, friends. We can trust him. We don't understand sometimes why we're rowing and getting nowhere. Have you ever felt like that in life? Everything you do just seems to go backwards on you. You just can't seem to get ahead. You just keep going ahead and back and ahead and back, and it just feels like you're stuck. You're stuck in a place. I want you to know something. Stuck as you might be in a place, God is there. But he does want to challenge you. He does want you to call out to him. He comes, but he wants you to call out to him. The Bible says, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So often we don't call out. So often we ignore the presence of God. And God is there, friends, in the middle of those storms. He is there. And I want you to know that. And that is important to know, because sometimes the storms seem to be so overwhelming, it feels like we're sunk. There's nothing we can do. We're finished. But you know, sometimes it is the best place to be where we can't go forward any longer, where we have to give up our rowing and our trying and our effort and our push-through ability, what we think we have. Because they couldn't get anywhere now. And in fact, they were coming to the place where they were in danger. And Jesus comes. So he comes alongside the boat. He doesn't come into the boat. He makes as if he's going on by. They cry out. They thought, it's a ghost. The people were afraid of ghosts even back then too, weren't they? Yeah. But they were all terrified when they saw him. And Jesus spoke to them at once. Immediately he speaks to them. Immediately he wants to calm them. He didn't come into the boat, but he came alongside of the boat, outside of it. He said, don't be afraid. He said, take courage. It is I. I'm here. It's me. It's me. I can tell you, there have been times in my boat of life where I have felt terror, where I have felt fear, where I felt paralyzed, where I felt, I don't know what to do next. But I can tell you, every single time Jesus has come, he said, don't be afraid. I'm here. I'm here. And I just thank God. I thank God that in every valley, in every circumstance, in every storm, that Jesus Christ comes. He comes. Does he allow the storms? Yes. Would we have decided, hey, Jesus, listen, you know, you just sent us out in this boat here, and we've been struggling, and we got nowhere. Why did you do this? Yes, there are times when I've asked God why. When my first wife got sick, and when she didn't get better, and when she finally died, did I ask why? I did. I said, Lord, I don't know why. You know why. I still don't see all the answers to it, and I won't see all the answers till I get to the other side. But I do know this. Jesus came to me in that storm. He came to her in that storm. He brought her through that storm, and he brought me through, and he'd bring anyone through who's willing to look to him and cry out to him and turn to him. Will there be times when we're afraid? Yes. Times we don't understand? Times when we're puzzled at God? Absolutely. But here, as Jesus comes alongside of that boat and he speaks into their lives, he says, take courage. I'm here. Don't be afraid. I'm here. Now, Mark 6:51 says he climbed into the boat. The wind stopped and they were totally amazed. The Gospel of Mark doesn't tell all the story. None of the Gospels tell all the story. They tell parts of a story. Mark gives the summary of stories. He's the getter on through. He's like me. I got to say the whole story as quick as I can, right? But Mark, that's the way Mark told the story. Others give more details. So when we look in other Gospels, we find something else. In Matthew 14:26, when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, it's a ghost! But Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage. I am here. And now we have Peter. Peter is in the boat with the other disciples, and he calls out to them, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Wow. You see, the Lord knew what was coming. That's why he didn't get in the boat. He knew that Peter had a big mouth, right? He always had to shove his oar in somewhere. And sometimes it was a blessing, and other times he got himself in deep trouble. I can relate to him. I can. Yeah, sometimes I get myself in deep trouble, but other times there's a blessing. And in this case, Peter takes the bold initiative to make this statement. He said, Lord, if that's really you out there, then you bid me come on the water. Can you imagine? Would you do that? I don't know if I would. I mean, the storm's raging. Now, Peter could swim. We find that out later on. He could swim, but this is a storm. And once you're out of that little boat, and it's not much of a boat either, and the ability to get back in another of them boats is not that easy either. Have you ever seen the boat? They're about from here over to that speaker over there, and there's like 12, 13 guys crammed in that little boat with oars and everything else, it's not an easy task. And the boat's probably, the gunwales are probably about that high, so you don't got a lot of room. And you also, when you get a little bit of a sea on, you got trouble. And there's a raging sea, and Peter says to him, Lord, if it's really you, you tell me to come to you walking on the water. And Jesus says, yeah, come. Come on out here. Peter looked at Jesus. He said, he's walking on the water. This is Jesus. He's walking on the sea. I'm not going to miss my opportunity. I'm going out there. Jesus, if you tell me to come. Now notice he didn't just get precautious there and say, well, I'm going out too, because I think he would have went down into deep blue yonder underneath. But instead, he said, Lord, you bid me come, because I know, Lord, if you say it, it can happen. You see the faith that he had? He took a step of faith, an amazing step of faith, in the middle of a storm where they had been in danger, where they were rowing for their lives, basically, and weren't getting anywhere. Peter takes this step and calls out to him. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. Ah, what an amazing experience that must have been. The rest of the disciples, you don't hear them saying, me too, me too, me too. Not one of them, just Peter. And off he goes. I think they were going to say, let's wait and see what happens. Right? So what happens? He's walking on the water towards Jesus. This step of faith in the middle of a storm. Friends, God comes to us in the middle of a storm, but he can do even more. He can do more than what you're thinking. He can not only get you through the storm, but he can get you through the storm rejoicing. He can not only get you through the storm, but he can get you through the storm walking on the storm. He can get you through the deepest and hardest circumstances, not just getting by the skin of your teeth, but going far, farther, higher, deeper in your walk with God. Don't miss what God can do, because he can do amazing things. It's incredible what he can do as we walk with him, as we trust him. So many of us live on the edge of blessing and don't take steps of faith at times when we're challenged just to go a little farther, or when we get a sense from God, well, God's trusting, asking me to do something here and I don't know what the outcome of it's going to be. Take the step of faith. Trust the Lord in it. See what he can do. I don't want any of you to go walk up a cliff this week, okay? Just be reasonable about this, okay? I mean, you got to make sure what Jesus is saying to do. And in this situation, it says, but when Peter, here he is, he's walking on the sea, the same as Jesus is, in the midst of the wind and the waves and the storm didn't become calm. And sometimes the storm doesn't become calm. Sometimes the storm keeps on raging. And there's the beauty of it, friends. If all we want is for Jesus to calm our storms, we would never learn to trust him, really. We'd say, oh, thank you, Lord, that storm's over, and we move on. But instead of that, God wants to meet you in the middle of the storm. He wants you to give you faith in the middle of the trial so that you can walk with him with assurance, because your hope is not in the things of this world. Your hope is not that everything goes well, because everything's not going to go well. Everything doesn't go well. Storms come. As soon as they're over, what happens? Another one comes. Just live in shed again for a while. You know that, right? Storms come, and they keep coming, and they'll keep on coming. You know, so many people say, it just never seems to end. I said, you're right, it's not going to end. Not until you get to heaven. We're going to have trials, and they're going to come. If it's not this, it's going to be that. If it's not a problem over there, it's going to be a problem over here. I'm not, you're not a problem. I didn't mean that. Okay? Whatever happens, when he saw the strong wind and the waves, Peter got afraid. He was taking the step of faith. He was walking on the water. Can you imagine the joy that he had? His eyes were fixed on Jesus, and suddenly he looks away from Jesus, you see. What does he look at? What is it that he looks at? He looks at the storm. Yeah. His eyes come off the Lord, and his eyes go on the storm. When he sees the storm, he's cooked. Phew. What happens to him? He was terrified, and he began to sink. So what does he do? He says, save me, Lord, he shouted. Save me, Lord. Save me, Lord. Jesus gives Peter this incredible opportunity to walk towards him. As long as he's looking at Jesus, it doesn't matter how big the storm is. It doesn't matter how high the waves are. It doesn't matter how deep the valleys are. It doesn't matter, friends. If your eyes are on Jesus, you know that he's going to get you through. You know that he's going to carry you, no matter what that storm is. Yeah, this week was a little stormy. It was. You know, when your water breaks and she's 2 months early and, you know, a lot of stuff goes through your mind and you're driving down to Halifax and, yeah, I'm not in control. I can't fix that, right? When's the baby going to come? Is the baby going to be okay? Is it going to make it? Or, you know, all those kinds of things. As you're facing them, you're wondering. And the storm isn't going away. We're in the middle of it. You can't stop it from happening. And when you're, you know, she goes through 2 nights of contractions and everything else, and you're watching her suffering with it, and you know, you're praying, and the storm didn't go away. But I tell you, I felt the presence of Jesus in the middle of that storm. I could be constantly praying, and I felt the powerful prayers of others in the whole setting, in that circumstance. Not that we deserve it. Nobody deserves it. We don't deserve anything. It's mercy. That's what mercy is. Mercy is favor that you don't deserve, and you getting it in spite of that. It's not that, oh, yeah, well, you deserve this, you deserve that. No, it's mercy. It's God's mercy. You can cry out to him for mercy, even in any circumstance. And so in the middle of those storms, you can keep your eyes on Jesus. You're looking at the circumstances, but you can keep your eyes on Jesus. What a peace he brings, even when things go south. What a peace he brings. And so here's Peter. He's doing pretty good. And suddenly he looks away from the Lord. And his peace is gone. It's gone. He's not looking at Jesus any longer. He no longer sees the wonderful person of God and all of his power and ability. He no longer sees that God can get him through the storm. He no longer sees that Jesus can hold him up on the water. All his little bit of faith suddenly went squish when he looked around and he saw the storm and felt the power of it and began to sink in the middle of it. But at least he did something. What did he do? He cried out. He said, "Save me, Lord. Save me, Lord," he shouted. He didn't whisper it. He shouted it. He was in desperation. And there are times when I've gotten there too, when I've taken my eyes off Jesus, when the wind and the waves, when I'm up to my neck, when I'm up to my eyeballs, and I can't seem to get another gasp. "Save me, Lord. Lord, you get me through this." And Jesus Christ, what did he do? Immediately he reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" This wasn't a, "You stupid fella, you had no faith." It wasn't that. It was, "You could have waited all the way here. You didn't have to look away from me." We don't have to look away from him. Don't be distracted by the good, the bad, the ugly that's out there in this world. Don't be caught up in everything else. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And here's my encouragement to you. Don't just fix your eyes on Jesus when a storm comes, when you're walking on water, and if you don't keep your eyes on him, you're sunk. Because in reality, that's the way it is in everything in life. You're sunk if you don't have Jesus. You're sunk if you don't keep your eyes on him. I got to keep my eyes on him all the time. I need to have my focus on Jesus Christ. Indeed, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, it tells us this, that we're running a race, and to have our eyes fixed on Jesus, he's at the finish line, because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that gets us there. He's the one who starts us. He's the one who finishes us. I need my eyes on Jesus Christ all the time. I need to get up in the morning and realize, "Lord, I can't get through the day without you. I need you now, Lord." Don't wait for the storm to come. Don't wait for the crisis to come. Don't wait for the situations that are impossible, because here's the truth of it all. All of it is impossible. To live well, to live fully in this world, you need Jesus Christ, and you need him 100% all the time. So don't miss that. Because if you miss that, yes, you'll find him faithful when the real, you know, the ultimate crisis comes. And you'll wonder at it and you'll say, "Oh, God was so good. He brought me through that circumstance. I'm so thankful that he did." But then it might be another while before you get that other opportunity. Enjoy the Lord every day. Enjoy his power and his presence and his peace. Enjoy his perfection every day. Look to him now. Look to him in 10 minutes from now. Find him to be faithful in every circumstance, whatever it is. The little trials. You know, I'll tell you something. The big storms come,
We fall on Jesus. The small trials come and we complain. The small trials come and things the way we don't like the way they are. We don't like this. We don't like that. And we just get so out of sorts over those little things. And I'll tell you, a lot of life is in the little things, isn't it? A lot of life is in those small things. A lot of your living will be there and you'll miss the blessing because of all the little things where you spend the time complaining and blah about all this and all that and everything else, right? Ah, I tell you, Jesus is good for the big storms and he's good for the little storms. He's good for the calm days. He's good for all things at all times. So when Jesus said, why did you, so little faith, why do you doubt me? He wasn't rebuking him in a sense where he was saying, you know, you missed the boat. He was telling him, you could have went farther here. You could have gotten more out of this. You could have walked all the way back in the boat with me. You could have done this, Peter. Just trust me. You could trust me. Yes, the Lord delivers us, but you can have a greater deliverance as you learn to walk trusting Jesus Christ. So here's my encouragement to you. Surrender your whole being to God. Surrender completely to him. Let him have your life. Let him have your ways. Trust him. He will direct your paths. Maybe sometimes it means stepping out of a boat. Maybe sometimes it means giving your last penny away to somebody who is in need and not having enough left for yourself. Maybe it might be going that extra mile in some circumstance. Maybe it'll be just following his leading in certain situations, trusting that God knows what he's doing. There's times when I've stopped at places and I said, I don't even know why I'm here. You know, why did I stop here? But I just say, okay, God, you have a reason why I pulled in here. And then suddenly I'll meet somebody there and it will be a divine appointment. I say, okay, God, you know what you're doing. You can walk this way, trusting God and discovering his ways. When they climb back into the boat, what happened? The wind stopped. So Jesus took Peter by the hand and took him back into the boat. He reached out and he grabbed him. Ah, the touch of the master's hand. And what the disciples worshipped him, you really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. But I want you to notice something else here. It says this, when they were glad to take him into the boat. So when he got back in the boat this time, when he finally got in the boat, Peter was with him. It says, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Did you see that? The wind and the wave stopped. Immediately they were where they were going to be. All their striving couldn't get them to their destination, but Jesus took them there immediately. When he gets in the boat, he'll get you there. They didn't get themselves there. They couldn't get themselves there. And friends, that's the way it is about heaven. You can't get yourself there. You can't earn your way there. You can't row your way there. Jesus will get you there immediately. Not only that, but every other circumstance in life, it is Jesus that gets you there. Oh, friends, Jesus is bigger than you think. God is bigger than you think. He is more able than you believe. And if you will trust him, if you will turn to him, if you will welcome him into your boat, you'll find him getting you there. Are you striving? Are you struggling? Are you trying to push and you're finding yourself in a storm and you just can't seem to get it anywhere? It's time. Jesus is there. I believe he's there. I believe he is available to any one of us. Call out to him. Welcome him into your boat and find him. Find him bringing you the victory that you need and getting you where you need to go. We can trust him. He's a good God. I praise the Lord for his faithfulness. And I thank him that what he gives us here in this story is the Spirit of God puts this story to us so that we might understand how much Jesus cares. Yes, it's one of the most common questions I get as I talk to people. If there's a God, why is this happening in the world? How come so many people are dying over there? How come little children are suffering? How come this is happening? Do I know all the answers to that? No. But I do know this, that it's us that messed up this world. It's us that chose to rebel against God. It's us that caused sin to come into the world. It's the human race, and we're reaping the consequences of that. But in the midst of all of that and the ugliness of every storm and all the circumstances that can happen, Jesus Christ is still there, and he's looking to us to call out to him, and he will be with us in those trials and storms. And the other thing is to remember this. Whatever happens here, it's all brief anyway. Listen, if you live to be 700 years old, you'll die and it'll be over. If you live to be 10 years old and you die, it'll be over. People die young, people die old, people die in all kinds of circumstances. Everything here is fleeting and it's temporary. If all our hope is in this world, then when someone dies young, it's an absolute tragedy. There's nothing left. That's what we think. But when we understand that there's eternity, the longest you live 10 years here or you live 1,000 years here, there's not much difference in the light of eternity of forever. We need to have a little bit of eternal perspective. The storms will come, but they're all going to blow over. The very storm of death will come. It's going to come to everyone in this room unless Jesus comes back in your lifetime. You're going to face it. You're not going to get around it. People are trying. Walt Disney froze himself, but believe me, he's dead. You're going to face it. However, it's all fleeting. It's all temporary. You'll get in the boat with Jesus. You'll get to the right destination because he's faithful. Father, thank you. Thank you for the goodness of God, and thank you this morning that we can be gathered together. Thank you for the blessings that you want to bestow upon us, even in the trials, even in the storms. We can find you faithful. I pray, Lord, your blessing on each one of us, that we might seek you. We might call out to you, even when we don't understand you, even sometimes when we're afraid of you. We can still call out to you, Lord, and you will answer. And I give you the praise. Bless our food and fellowship today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.